Winnipeg, Canada, January 30th, the 31st, and February 1st, I will be at Rumors for 5 shows. Go get tickets at dansoder.com. And this time, leave your infectious diseases to yourself. I try not to bring up the apocalypse too much on this podcast.
Yeah.
That's honestly, at first,
what our would you problem, do though? You're fucked. Like, this is.
We live in the blast radius.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a joke that I say, but it's for real. What,
Indian Point?
Oh, right here?
Yeah. Do you know what about that Indian Point? Because we learned about that in high school because we're at Rockland. It's like 30, 40 miles away, an active nuclear plant from here that is so untalked about.
Oh, I love this. Dude,
it's right there. And in high school, they're like, if Indian Point were to get hit, we are technically in the blast radius.
Well, there's also a theory, and I hope no terrorists are watching this, but you terrorists at home, tune out.
Don't include this in your plan.
Spoiler alert. They said that if a nuclear warhead hit a, and again, this is something I learned online, so I don't know if this is true. Mm-hmm. I have to start doing this on everything I say because I've realized I am just a child and I hear things and I go repeat it.
It's like pre-Disney movies. It's like, sorry about how we talked about Native Americans, but this is...
those crows were real black and we didn't know. We really were making those crows jive as fuck.
My dad used to call me those crows in college because I wore Pele jeans and XXX Air Force, you know, like long tees and
shit. I bet if you did that now, no one would get the reference. It's almost like a sneak diss if you can go like, what are you, one of the crows in Disney? You're like,
what are their names?
The crows on the wire.
It's not Heckle and Jekyll. No.
I don't know. We could look that up.
Yeah.
The crows on the wire.
No, I'm just getting caught up in some who gives a shit detail.
No, by the way, we're both potheads. This is where we go. Are you going to actually know stuff? Crows on the wire.
Yeah, wow. Dandy Jim Crow Fats, Deacon Dopey and Specs.
It's the crows from Dumbo.
Yeah.
The lead crow, voiced by white actor Cliff Edwards, is in an imitation of a Southern African American dialect. Southern African American dialect was named Jim Crow. It's in Dumbo, dude. So crazy that Dumbo's got everything. Fat shaming, orphans. Dumbo has
social icing out.
It's got everything. It's got fat shaming, ear shaming, blacks, black crows. Dude, yeah. What's the dark theory of Dumbo? Apparently, Dumbo is a product of biracial parentage, or within this elephantine context, the result of a coupling between an Asian elephant and a male African elephant.
Damn.
Well, like Heinz Ward? Which happened to have much bigger ears. Hence Dumbo's. Dude, I didn't even know Dumbo. I didn't even know the kind of that. That's what that movie was about. About biracial kids? Oh, dude, I thought it was just be nice to fat kids.
Don't mix races or else you'll get big ears.
That's wild. Do you want to have a freak elephant child? The stuff that they were throwing us that was secondary. It's so funny how like my generation and your generation, we're so dumb that we're just like, no, it's about elephants in the circus. And they're like, it's about biracial parents. And you're like, oh, I had no idea. I had to have that like drawn out for me. That is wild though. Dude, it's so funny your dad was just calling you racist crows.
Constantly. My dad also called me Muslim instead of Muslim. Yeah, he'd just be like, you look Muslim.
You should have been like Ensalah.
I wish I did. Al-Aqba. I wish I had like Photoshop back then because since people have like pulled up comparisons to Osama bin Laden and it's like spot on. I look a lot like him. I've mentioned this before on shows, but like...
Your facial structure?
My facial structure. So it doesn't look like it from...
Is it like the way that Troy Aikman looks like Jay-Z?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, dude, they look...
That's crazy. I've never seen
that
before.
On the internet. That's not mine original. That's all over the internet. Troy Aikman's white Jay-Z. It's been proven.
He does kind of have like a Joe Camel look himself.
God, Troy what's Aikman. Another one? Katie knows another one. I think it's like Glenn Close. Holy shit, you have the same face as Osama bin Laden.
Like spot on, dude. Cheekbones.
Damn, dude. How do you not have a podcast called The Cave? Where you just sit Indian style on a pillow.
Just with tape stacked around me.
Dude, just watching tapes. I do love that Osama bin Laden used to beat off to VHS tapes.
What is more relatable to that?
get caught. He was like, guys, shut the door. I'm in the middle of something. Well, SEAL Team 6 is busting in. He's going, you're fine. I told you I'm watching Splat on My Rack 2, starring the very hot Bianca Trump. She's early 90s, before Vivid contracts. Like, you know when guys are too into porn and they know all that stuff?
Yeah.
It's actually pretty interesting. She worked her way. She was with Metro for a while. Gene Wilder. No. Gene Wilder and the guy from The Bear. Yes. Type in Troy Aikman, Jay-Z. Because the comparison.
I'm putting it together in my head right now. And it's like, it's actually.
Once you see the photo, you'll.
It's crazy.
You won't be able to unsee it.
Dude, that's fucking. That is. That's like Jay-Z in the Chappelle whiteface makeup.
Yeah. If he walked into it, hey guys, what's going on? And you go, you're not. That's not real. when Eddie Murphy did that on SNL and got the paper for free, I was like, no. Yeah, that was Jay-Z. Jay-Z's got so much money, he dresses up as Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman died. Everyone knows this. Troy Aikman died 20 years ago. And Jay-Z's just been calling. In. He's just been calling games with Joe Buck the whole time. You go, dude, Jay-Z in the booth. Not only the rap booth, but in the broadcast booth.
It really can pick apart a scheme.
It's unfucking believable. You ever had Jay-Z break down a soft cover too? It's unbelievable. Yeah, man. It's like looking like, I said this on the last podcast, but I used to get called the fourth Manning brother. There's like people when you look like it. One time when I was waiting tables, back when I was skinnier and younger, someone said I looked a little like Joaquin Phoenix.
Without the cleft,
and I never saw that.
Damn.
But so you've been told Osama bin Laden.
Oh, dude, I got another good one too. A basketball player that you would like. Shit. He was an Hedo Turkoglu.
Turkoglu.
Yeah,
Turkoglu from the Sacramento Kings.
Teardrop, like kind of lazy Eastern Block eyes.
Shout out Guy Tori on a Shaquille O'Neal roast from like 20 years ago. Guy Tori had my favorite, the Maloof brothers, who own the Kings, were at the roast. And Guy Tori goes, Maloof Brothers is here. Man, what's up with Turkoglu? God wanted to make him retarded and change his mind at the last minute. And that joke has never left my brain.
That's unreal.
I'm like, I was into the NBA so much at that time that I was like, that's perfect. That's like a perfect joke.
My gym teacher in high school who was a lesbian who had a crush on my now wife used to like hit me with that to try to take away my self-esteem.
Wait. Your lesbian gym teacher.
Yeah.
Had a thing for your current wife.
Yeah, who, I think so.
If you don't know, Mike Cannon grew up with his wife on and off, but they are like the most adorable story. You're like a true. No one has those stories anymore.
No, I get.
Your grandfather took me to the dance in seventh grade, and then we were in love.
Now it's like, yeah, I was on an app called Slop Pigs, and she said she could suck me without using any teeth. Anyways, I put a baby in her, and that's why you're here. You're like an old.
You call it cute, but no other comic has ever framed it that way, which is why I'm always on the defense of being like, no, man, it's cool. You know, I've had other.
No. I genuinely, I'm down with the nuclear family. I keep looking at the camera like I'm Jim in the Office. But it is, I think it's adorable. You genuinely grew up with your wife. Your wife knows you better than anybody.
Which is truly like the only reason that's the only way I could marry somebody. Like, I don't think I could meet somebody in my 30s and then be like, all right, I think I trust you enough.
Yeah.
Like, I think you know enough.
She's my dream girl. Yeah. And I'm barely like, is this real? When are you going to leave me?
Yeah.
You're going to leave me.
I need to know that you would have hung on through puberty.
God, this podcast really is the opposite of the one where you go look at the girl's I'm going to have a new show. What grade did you guys meet?
Fifth. We met literally. I remember we were on the bus line like to leave school, and I remember seeing her Charlotte Hornets pullover star, and I was just like,
she had a pullover starter Charlotte.
Whoever is cool enough to wear that as a girl at that point, I was like,
pull the sword from the rock.
Immediately.
You are it.
I hear Dreamweaver in my head.
Oh, she will be mine. It might take 26 years, but she will be mine. Yeah. I mean, dude, that is, you have a Winnie Cooper.
Yeah.
No one gets a Winnie Cooper.
No. And it's so funny. We grew up next door to each other. And, you know, so with that comes all like young fights and stuff like that. So my parents, obviously her parents had no clue that we were going to work out.
No, you were going to be the guy that when your wife is dating a new guy that the parents hate, they can go like, how's Mike doing?
Yeah.
Do you ever talk to Mike? I liked him.
See, opposite though is her mother married her neighbor growing up. So my wife's father is her mom's neighbor. Like they grew up next door to each other, but they had a pretty rough divorce.
How old was your wife?
So my wife was like 4,
okay,
maybe.
Yeah.
But like her mom, I remember, you know, I was
It's not going to work.
Adamantly would be like, I don't like the influence you are on my daughter.
She said that to you?
To me in art class in 10th grade. And I was like, I'm the only reason she's not getting dicked down by it. Like, yeah. Like, what are you talking about?
She would have so much foreign and dark dick in her. And her mom's like, what does that mean?
Her kids could have giant ears one day.
Yeah. You know what? Her kids could marry one of the crows from the wire. She could marry one. And you're like, what? And you're like, it's something my dad does. Never mind. But wait, was her mom your teacher?
She was an art teacher. I never had her directly for class, though. But we would like go there and for like study hall and shit.
So you got the smoke from another teacher.
Yeah.
That wasn't even your teacher.
Not my teacher.
Are you and your mother-in-law cool now?
We're awesome. Like, she's the best. Once it worked out, once she saw that I wasn't, like, in high school, I also would have looked at me and been like, this is a problem.
You can't trust a man younger than 25.
No, and I was such an out-of-control, like, attention-seeking ass. Even more, like, now I'm more reserved and just, like, picking my spots about attention stuff.
Yeah.
But then I was like, an unkinked hose, just fucking blasting my bullshit everywhere, trying to get kicked out of class while, like, you know, impressing people.
I've been annoying since I was born.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. Yeah. You get, the less older you get, the less annoying you are.
Yeah.
People still can't watch this podcast because I want to chime in with my little voices and quips. I get it. I fucking get it. But as you calm down, you really, it's like a dog. Once you start getting those white circles around your eyes, people go like, I like him.
What a sweet. Like,
just put your head on people's laps instead of just running around the house being a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
But I mean, that is, and your parents obviously love her.
They do. Yeah. I mean, they're like, my mom is more involved daily, I guess. And my dad is kind of a periphery, still around and just very into the whole thing that it worked out.
But it's crazy that it did, because that does not happen anymore.
No.
Because usually what happens is the guy fucks it up in late teens, early 20s, by trying to go get other pussy.
Which is the best thing, because we didn't date. So we never dated in that time. We were always dating other people. And in that time, we'd come back and hook up.
Great.
So we were the things that broke up the other relationships.
And that's how you want it to be.
It's the best.
And your kids will grow up knowing, like, all right, at least my parents actually liked each other. Because there's a lot of parents that are mistakes. And like the kids are like, I can tell you guys didn't want to be together. I can tell you guys don't like each other.
Yeah.
That's gotta suck even more. I've always said, man, like, my parents broke up when I was like 5, but it's better than them forcing it until you're an adult. Because
that's what mine did.
Really?
Dude, my parents got a divorce when I was 20, I think. And for either 2 or 3 years, my mother slept on the couch. And I was living at home doing community college,
of
course, you know, because behind muffled doors, it's like if Charlie Brown's mom was getting the shit kicked out of her.
And you're like, oh man, that's pretty bad. Do you think Charlie Brown, that's why they did the parents? Were his parents abusive? Is that why we never heard him talk?
Or shit.
Where they were like, you bald little fag. Wah, 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 wah. That's what he's saying. They're like, kill yourself, Charlie. The wrong boy died. You don't even know. That's why he's so into Snoopy. They got him Snoopy because his older brother got hit by a car. Wah, 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 wah. Yeah, dude. It's, I think, like, having parents that secretly hate each other, it does more damage than people who are just like out in the open and they're like, fuck your dad. Because like I grew up with my mom double fingers like Pac in that Red Wings jersey. My mom was spitting at my dad every time. She was like, fuck him. But I knew where she stood.
And
that's why it was kind of nicer when she died. When he died, she was like, I'll be cool about it. He's dead. I don't want to speak ill of the dead.
Yeah.
But growing up, a lot of heat towards him. And I liked it because when I'd go to my friends' houses whose parents didn't like each other, I felt crazy.
Yes.
Because I would notice it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd be like, do your parents fucking hate each other? And they're like, no, they're married. Stop it. And you're like, I don't think there should be.
I was under the impression that everybody's mom would just like get out of the car in traffic in a highway and start like walking down on the side of the street. I was like, come that's on, not everybody's
come
life.
Come on, your dad driving next to you. Get in.
Tapping on the door like, come on, Kate, get in.
Get in, it's fucking, you're going to get killed.
The kids are crying.
Do you have siblings?
I have two sisters, so an older sister and a younger sister.
Did they wait until the youngest one was out of the house to get divorced?
No, because I was still living in the house. Then I left. Then they officially got divorced and my younger sister was stuck. So she was still like kind of, she also, to save them money, both my sister and I went to community college to try to, you know, basically my dad was a part of that 08 collapse. He was a stockbroker. So went down to zero. My older sister, all of her collegiate dreams came true.
That's so funny.
The House of Cards came tumbling down for us.
Indiana Jones did as it closed. She was like, well, good luck. Turns out dad was investing in BlackRock.
Bye! Dude,
there's subprime mortgage really fucked him. Bye!
There's nothing more depressing than picking up my sister from Indiana University.
Go
the Hoosiers. The most beautiful campus ever. Just picturesque. Exactly what you assume college is.
I've only heard how fun it is.
Right.
It's a party school that's also a good school.
Yeah, and big sport. All I wanted to do was either play sports or go to a big sports school.
You could have been in a Big Ten basketball school.
I would have been their videographer. Like, oh, I would have definitely tried to do, like, an Eric Spoelstra route. Oh,
you would have gotten drunk and watched Hoosiers and cried.
All the time.
That would have been, like, your movie.
All the time.
Oh, my God. You'd make your wife and your kids go back to fucking, what is it, Fort Wayne, Indiana?
Yeah.
Oh, what a dump.
Bloomington. Bloomington. Yeah.
I apologize. I'm sorry, Indiana. But also, come on, you're Indiana. Yeah. Indianapolis is a tough hang.
I've never even been back.
California, 2025, the end of February. San Diego, February 28th. Los Angeles, March 1st. And San Francisco, March 2nd. Get tickets on sale now, dansoder.com. I will see you in 2025. And then other cities, don't worry. We're coming. We're putting it all together. But California, you're up first on this theater tour. I'm very excited about this. Again, February 28th, I'll see you in San Diego. March 1st, Los Angeles. And March 2nd, San Francisco. DanceHunter.com for tickets. Please buy them, and I'll see you then. But your older sister goes to Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Lives all the collegiate dreams.
Yeah.
How much older is she than you?
4 years.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, so she got literally the full experience.
The moment she graduated a year early too. What? So she got out and then the money was gone.
What year did you graduate high school?
03.
Oh shit. So that would have been like, you were leading to, oh my gosh.
Dude, we were driving to pick her up when they were playing Duke in March Madness when Jay Williams missed that free throw and they ended up winning. Yeah. And they're like, my dad and I pulled onto campus and they're just like flipping cars and doing all this shit.
I was lucky enough that I went to Arizona when we still had Lute Olson and we were we're still a good team, but we were like number one and number two battle. We lost to Duke. My senior year of high school, we lost to Duke in the finals. And so my whole college life was like, oh, when are we going to win a championship? We didn't.
Yeah. And you always had the most talented roster that always, like, unbelievable. You're like the Portland Trailblazers. It was unbelievable. College.
Dude, my senior year, we had fucking Salim Stoudemire, Andre Iguodala, Hassan Adams, Channing Frye, Luke Walton was 2 years older than me. It was like crazy, our team.
Channing Frye looks like Carl from The Simpsons.
He really does. It's like, hey, Homer.
The what? Furrowed giant forehead.
He's like, it was crazy because that was when I realized athletes are dorks.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them.
Sure.
The ones that are cool are the ones that stand out.
Yeah, yeah.
But most of them give their lives to this thing.
Totally.
So they're just in the gym all the time.
Yeah, and also like strategic nerds too, where they're like studying somebody's tendencies, what they do on the court, all that shit. When you hear about like guys in the NBA, especially now, like even LeBron, where he's basically an uneducated guy, went to high school, graduated, whatever, but is, according to everybody else, genius level at picking apart offenses, tendencies, all that stuff. And you're like, this is something else.
I had a professor at Arizona that talked about how difficult it was trying to teach Gilbert Arenas. I watch his podcast every week because his breakdown of the NBA is so good.
Yeah.
He's like a genius when it comes to NBA shit. Like, he broke down the Lakers-Nuggets series, the first round of last year's playoffs.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is this is exactly what's happening. But you're like, yeah, because they're...
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
It's like the way CrossFit people think they're dumb, but you're like, do you know how much science they know? Because they're like about proteins and what bonds to your muscles and what doesn't. Like, you can go in there and they'll give you a biology lesson that you're like, I have no fucking clue that's what it did.
It's also like, it's almost like Black Goodwill Hunting, where like the white version is tolerated so much more, like the roughneck, but super intelligent. And then Gilbert Arenas is putting guns on seats in his locker room. I mean, Gilbert Arenas,
first off, he's very funny.
Yeah.
That's why I've always loved him.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll always get me if you're very funny, but I loved him through Agent Zero. I missed him by a year at Arizona, but I've always been like, he's a Wildcat dude. He's ours. I might straight up buy a Gilbert Arenas Arizona jersey.
You should.
After this conversation. You should. Because I fucking love that.
I bet his son goes there.
I don't know, but he's the man.
Yeah.
And his podcast, I like watching guys like him have a podcast because you're like, your NBA, here's my theory about broadcasters. This is why I don't think Brady will ever be good, is because the good broadcasters are the guys that got near the top, but not to the top.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, everyone compares Tom Brady to Greg Olson. Is unbelievable at calling games for Fox. Brady took his spot and everyone was kind of like hot. They're like, why is it? Greg Olson still calls games for Fox, but he's the B team.
Right.
But then you watch his games and you're like, oh, he's like awesome.
Yeah.
Like how he breaks it down. Tony Romo was similar. Same, he was good for a while because he never got. Brady's the fucking man. Brady's the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
So it's like weird for him to talk about it because he's like, and then, you know, you're just the best.
And you just
and everyone's like, why? Explain to me how you got there. He goes, I just do it. You're just like unbelievable.
I do like how some of his sociopathy is coming out, though. Oh, yeah, like with the Baker Mayfield yesterday, where he's like, yeah, people were stressed out. I came in kind of inject a little bit of joy. And Tom Brady's like, if I wanted joy, I'll take my kids to the fucking Disney World.
Yeah, you go, Tom, like, that's not good. Tommy, let go. Ow. That's what it is. You're like, ow. He's like, if I ever wanted to fucking win fun, we're not here to have fun. It's war. And you're like, no, technically it's a game. Technically, it's a game. It's not war.
Not at all.
Could have gone. But by the way, there's no doubt that Tom Brady would have been a successful war general. He would have been Tom Brady would have been the greatest in whatever he did because of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's also interesting because now we're starting to see that psychopaths, we've liked psychopaths for so long and just misdiagnosed them as being great. And then you're like, well, he's kind of like Jordan is the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
His Hall of Fame speech is a lesson in who not to be.
Yep.
He's just there. They're being like, you're the greatest of all time. He's like, yo, fuck Byron Russell. I'll go, or whoever it was that played for the Jets. He's like, I'll go one-on-one with you right now. And you're like, you're at your Hall of Fame speech.
Did you see the top 75 player thing where like somebody, Magic Johnson, like, you know, just joking around, was like, let's go lace him up. And Jordan's like, I'll play right this second.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, they were serious. And
it's like when you try to wrestle with your friend and they get too into it and you go, whoa, hey, we're fucking around, dude.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's very interesting because that whole idea of like, a psycho, like that Nike commercial with Willem Dafoe doing the voiceover.
Yes.
And he's like, what? I want to win. I want to win more than you. And you go, cool commercial, shitty idea.
Yeah.
Because you're just saying you'll do whatever it takes to win. You're a villain.
Yeah, exactly.
You're kind of a cunt. Leave some of your humanity. Like and this is probably why I'll always just stay right in the middle, but I'm kind of okay with that if I'm going to still be a human.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That when I was a kid, I felt like such a pussy where they're like, you got to step on his neck, cut his throat. You're like, I live down the street from this guy.
Right. Yeah.
And they're like, fuck him. Fuck his parents. And you're like, can't I make him laugh? Then we have fun together. Look how much fun we're having. But like that mentality with comedians is so gay.
It's the height of gay.
Like this this idea, and not cool gay, like we're fucking each other in the butt.
No, yeah.
And doing poppers. that's cool gay.
That is very cool.
we're going to have joyful sex and then do drugs together?
I'm going to take a deep breath and then open sesame in my asshole.
No, get in there. Fucking yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah, they play Open Sesame all the time. And you guys are mad at them. But it's like that idea of like, I'm going to dominate. I'm going to dominate being a silly boy. And you're like, all right, dude. All right, dude. That's why I've never liked the really famous comedians when they come around the cellar and they have that like, what are you doing for greatness? You go, I love this shit. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to be the best comedian I can be. Outside of that, I just want to be a decent human.
Of course. Well, and it's also those guys that like vocally say how much they love comedians and the community of comedy and all this stuff. But if you aren't their level or their friend or somebody they came up with, you don't exist. You're a piece of shit, a barnacle on their shoe. Get the fuck out of this club.
When you're editing this podcast, replay that 10 times so people in the back can hear you. Because how many times guys that I have grown up absolutely idolizing, and then you see them and you go, oh, you suck.
Yeah.
You like Seinfeld sucks. Yeah. He sucks.
It's exactly what I had in my head when I was saying that.
Greatest TV show of all time. Some of the greatest stand-up ever done.
Yeah.
Miss me with all the rest.
Yeah, all that other bullshit where it's like, good. You don't like comedians. You don't. Like, you like your friends, which is fine. You like just Porsches,
and you like famous people.
Yeah.
And you want to relate to famous people because you've been alone, because you've been so famous. Larry David is the guy.
Yes. I agree. And I also, but
in a world of Jerry's, be Larry. Yeah.
But it's always those guys too. Like if I bumped into a comic at an airport, we immediately have something to talk about. It's like you literally would mush my face out of the way to talk to a fan.
I would say Jerry Seinfeld's comedian documentary was one of the most important parts of my life deciding I was going to be a stand-up comedian.
Totally.
I loved watching him and Colin and George Wallace talk. Mm-hmm. I was obsessed with him. I idolized that Jerry Seinfeld.
Yes.
The one I met standing outside of Stand Up New York in 2007, fucking hit him with a bus. I don't give a fuck. He just walked up and I wasn't obnoxious. Standing outside smoking a cigarette. There was no one at the club. And I went, hey, Jerry, I'm a young comic. I just moved to New York. And he went like that. And you're like, you can't even go, hey, good luck, man.
Uh-huh.
This is a fucking wild ride.
It's all it takes. And I similar to me, I think I followed him at Comedy Juice or something. And, you know, the obligatory good set or whatever. I didn't even really care for what he was doing up there.
You're doing a Pop-Tart joke?
He literally opened with like, oh, this is new, like blah, blah, blah. And then he did bits that I heard like years ago. Yeah. And I was like, I guess keep them on their toes. But he basically, I was like, oh, a good set. And he stepped on my foot with his Nike Shock.
That's hilarious.
And it hurts so much.
Oh, but those are cool sneaks like the show. Oh, so you really do care about sneakers. Oh, that wasn't just on the show. Oh, fuck. I think you broke my big toe. But, okay. I mean, the thing is like, I think we need to start doing that with celebrities in general. Mm-hmm. Is start going like, you're a regular person, which means you have faults, which means I'm not fucking idolizing you.
100%.
Because I this is clearly my own psychology, but like I grew up with a dad that was gone that didn't want anything to do with me. So in my mind, he was like Superman, like, oh, how do I get him back?
Right.
When in therapy, I realized that it made me not give a shit about Jerry Seinfeld, Louis C.K., Chris Rock. I went just like, oh, these are just like guys.
Yeah.
They did great shit, but like,
I mean, you're doing for me right now what you learned in therapy, because I've never put that together. Like why, like, I idolized my father, or because he wasn't around all the time. And I just like, I'd get like sliver or glimpses of greatness.
Yeah.
Funniest guy socially, having a great time, like all that stuff. So smart, really gregarious. All the people at his work really looked up to him. And
gravitational
then
pull on people. And then it would be like,
deuces. I'm going to go play golf for 9 hours on the only day I have off.
Oh, you have a birthday? I'm going to miss it. But then I'm going to blame the post office. Yeah, and then he dies and you're like, oh, fuck, I kind of got ripped off. But I used to do this thing where like, dude, I used to like when my heroes would come into the cellar, it makes my penis crawl into my body. How I think about how I used to be like, oh, wow. Do you remember when you did this?
Yeah.
One time I got drunk with Chappelle in like 2012 and I just like was telling him bits that he never did to the point where he was like, man, I think you know my act better than I do. And I was like, I love you. I love you. But now I can't stand to be around him.
Yeah.
Because he's just around a people of yes men. So he comes in and you see him and you go like, we're in Vegas for Skankfest.
Mm-hmm.
And me and Ari Shaffir and Adam Egit and Ran Azizi went and gambled. We were watching the Giants-Cowboys game.
Yeah.
We sit down at a table. There's these two guys from Ohio. One of them's like an older guy. And one of them's like a young guy. Both hammered. And we know they're hammered.
Yeah.
Young guy loses his money. He's out. Old guy loses, stays there. She just keeps going to Ari because, you know, Ari's got the half hair.
Yeah.
Keeps going, who is this guy? And he's like, he's our friend. He's like, I need to get a picture. I'm on my phone. Who's got our phone? We're all going, we don't have our phones. Rain is easy, says he doesn't have his phone, and then literally goes and starts texting. It was wild. This guy got so drunk that we were playing blackjack. While they were going, he was like slapping. Uh-huh. Like I would get like a jack and he'd be like, come on, give him a blackjack. And he was slapping his hands to the dealer. You have to stop doing that. You have to stop doing that. And it made me go, this is my dad if he's alive. Like, this is my dad if he's alive.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This guy fucking sucks. This would be my dad. He would be drunk, thinking he was being charming.
Totally.
He was slamming his hand on the fucking table. Mm-hmm. He was, like, grabbing me and shit, where at one point I went, don't fucking touch me like that. And he's like, like a New Yorker, son. And you're like, I'm from Colorado. I'm very pleasant. I live in New York. You just don't fucking grab people by their arm when you don't know them. But that idea of, like, framing it like that and being like, you're my dad if he's alive.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's dead. That's what I said when I walked away. I go, God, that really made me happy my father's dead. And Egot was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
You're like, sorry, I made all these connections in my head.
Sorry, bud. I was doing some solving. But I think, like, a lot of the times, especially with celebrities, is they are, like, these, like, stand-ins
mm-hmm.
for your parents when they suck.
I think that's actually, you just brought up a good point where I think that's how I was with agents. Like, I saw agents with an authority and this ability that they don't, like, they're so good at talking and they're very, like, they control the business. They do, before you know anything about it. And I was like, oh, that's my dad.
Yeah.
But then you meet your dad, you're like, my dad's, like, a pump and dump stuff. Broker that his partner got carried out by the FBI last
fucking
week.
Wolf of Wall Street. What am I fucking thinking? Because I think it's easier to project things onto other people than to like see who people really are.
Yeah.
And that's why like your wife and you guys have gone through so many different versions of yourself that she knows who you are. She's seen all the different ones.
Truly. Yeah. I mean, and just in terms of like comedy, being able to say whatever the fuck I want, like she's literally known me since I was a 10-year-old boy.
Yeah.
So I was saying flagrant crazy shit all the time. And just like before even knowing that it was crazy.
Yeah.
Just being outraged. I told like she was in my 9th grade history class when I told our brand new like 25-year-old teacher that her butt shakes when she writes on the board.
Damn, dude. That fucked her up.
Totally. I saw her like three months ago, that teacher. And she's like, yeah, I remember your class. She was very kind and being like,
oh, now butts are in. Back in the 90s, I was upset I didn't have big fat tits. And now look at me. I had a jiggly badonkadonk. That's so funny. She goes, and my big fat tits are still here. Yeah, dude, I think it really, it makes me feel less crazy when those things happen. Like, I don't have anything personal against any of the people I was just saying that. Mm-hmm. I don't have a personal thing against Jerry Seinfeld at all.
No.
If anything, I would thank him for all of the stuff he's made. Because when I am sick, I love putting on Seinfeld. It's my favorite show. It warms my heart.
Well, and ideal shatterers are actually just as important to your life as actual heroes.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you can get reality from that, like if this guy isn't what you built him up to be and you run into him in real life, you're like, wow, thank you for this gift. I no longer have to idolize strangers.
Well, now I'm watching my friends get idolized. I'm watching Nate get idolized. Mm-hmm. I'm watching Shane get idolized. Yeah, yeah. And it's like,
Is that like to watch Shane have little creations? Like not like people that are doing Shane on stage.
Which are a lot.
A lot. A tremendous amount.
But I think that's just a part of comedy. I think when I started, everyone was doing Dane Cook. When I moved to New York, everyone was doing Dave Attell.
Yep.
I think even Shane admits he was doing Louis for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, like I was doing Burr for like 07 to 09 when you're just like trying to figure it out.
Totally.
So I think that's like part of comedy is if when you have an impact, there's ripples.
Yeah.
When you drop a big enough rock into a pond, it's going to spread. I think there's something important in telling people they're doing Shane.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I think that's important. Like I remember watching people be told they were doing a tell.
Yeah.
And then you watch it. Mm-hmm. Dude, Nate, literally one time I got off stage and he goes, you're doing Burr. And I like listened to the set and I was like, he's right. I got to talk more like myself.
Oh, wow.
And then you just kind of guide yourself. So you stop watching that.
Mm-hmm.
You get away from it. And Shane's also the best.
Yeah.
So like, of course people are going to mimic the best because, mm-hmm. you know, he's doing it. But there was a, I did a show in Chicago and there was a really funny young comic and he was doing the double hands thing. Now, double hands thing could be a tell,
yeah.
but more modern, it is Shane.
Totally.
With the hand off, back in, yeah. shrug, the...
I've like seen that. A fair amount of belly rubs as well.
Or, the, you know, Nate started the Admiral.
Yeah, the Admiral.
Nate, and full credit, Nate started the Admiral, and then Shane, self-admittedly, we all started doing it.
Because mm-hmm.
you look at it, because stand-up is about writing jokes, but it's also learning what to do with your fucking hands.
100%.
Because you can't just...
Dude, there's no other time that I feel...
Wavy, hey, anyways, my dad.
Do you feel insecure whenever you feel your arm be almost like down out of your side? You're like, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing,
I have to
dude?
Like move, and I hate putting my hand in my pocket.
Yeah.
I used to put my hand in my back pocket like I'm being a little sexy.
Little teapot?
I'm a little teapot, pull me over and pour me out. I know this shit's boring, but it's true. It's like trying to figure that out. So when you see a guy like Shane had the double mic thing, well, now his hands are taken care of, and it was a good delivery service of like
joke.
So... I did a show in Chicago and this super funny comic. God, guy had, I think his name, I don't want to fuck his name up. His name's Joe. After I was like, dude, you're fucking super funny. You're doing the Shane hand thing. And he was like, I know, I love Shane. And I was like, I know everybody does.
Yeah.
But just like, I'm not telling you like, yo, you're ripping him off. Yeah. I'm just saying like, watch out for it.
Right, right.
And he was not upset about it. He was like, dude, thank you.
Yeah.
Because I don't think, there's this weird thing where people don't want to tell each other the truth. They don't want to go, you're doing, like, right to the point.
Yeah.
Because if you're right to the point, people are like, you're a dickhead. Maybe Seinfeld's just right to the point.
Yeah, maybe. That's his like, Asperger's.
Know, you're in my way. Make right better jokes. And you're like, okay.
All right, you're right.
You got a hair transplant and you're not talking about it. Mm-hmm. I think that's weird. As a guy with hair tits, I think you got to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like when celebrities show up with fucking tinier foreheads... Maybe say something. Get right to the point. But do you feel like with your, like, the you have two kids now.
Yeah, yeah.
With the amount of podcasts and stand-ups you've done,
mm-hmm.
are you worried for the day that your son discovers all the podcasts you've been on?
I'm almost like, I'll be impressed if he does. Like, at this point, I've done so many. There's so much shit of me out there that, yeah. like, if he's actually interested in combing through that stuff, I'll be like, wow, did I do a good job parenting?
I'll tell you what, if you die.
Yeah.
He will listen to every... If my dad was on a podcast... Oof,
that didn't consider that one.
If I found a podcast from the 70s of my dad being like, that Coke was great last night, I'd be like... I'd be playing fucking college football and be like, damn, my dad was fucking partying.
I'm looking forward to that, though, a little bit because I have no authentic glimpse at my own father.
Yeah.
Like, I have no real... Like what he was like. Even his brothers are like, can't tell you that. It's like that's his whole life.
Please
tell me. I was like, I'm 39. I would love to hear about it.
Please tell me. I'm entering my 40s and I have two children. You could tell me that my dad fingered a lady at fucking a drive-in movie theater.
Yeah.
It's not going to blow my mind.
Not at all.
I mean, we talked about it on this podcast, but I found a letter my dad wrote to my grandma, pussy whipped. He was like, straight up pussy whipped. Like, you read the letter and you're like, he's like 25 in it. And you're like, yeah, and I'm 41 now. Yeah. I look back, I'm like, that's a kid. Mm-hmm. I know that thought.
Totally.
I'm not making fun of, I'm making fun of my dad, but I'm also like, I've never got to have a moment where like, oh yeah, you were a guy. You're a guy like me.
Yeah.
And you got married young and had a baby, and then you got out of that, and you got, like, new pussy, yeah. and you were talking about it the way 25-year-old boys talk about getting new pussy. It's the best. She does stuff the last one didn't even think about doing. That's love. And you go, nah, your pussy went. Because they didn't have any authentic, like you said.
Yeah.
You couldn't really get the authentic thing where, like, I'm not having kids, but, whatever... One of my friend's kids that I'm close with, if they were to watch on my podcast, they'd be like, I have a pretty good idea who Dan was.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. Maybe it's almost a reaction. It is definitely a reaction to my father never filling me in on anything. Yeah. But I've also held him in such high regard that turned out to be false, where it's like, oh, at least now if my son likes me, he'll know who I am through and through.
Well, I think that's also like kind of a ongoing, theme with your relationships is that like you have these relationships where people actually know you.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where it gets dangerous. It's like when you have a lot of relationships with people that they don't really know you, they start treating you like you're one thing when you're like, well, I'm not even that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's got to feel crazy to be that famous because everyone's just like, no, this is who you are in my mind.
Totally. I mean, I almost feel that way still, even to this day, because I have so much social anxiety that has just kind of popped up over the last few years. But I feel that way with people that I've known for years in comedy, where it's like, oh, they've seen glimpses of who I am, but they don't really know who I am.
Oh, yeah. I would say that's probably most people in any work environment.
Yeah.
I think outside, it's not just comedy. I think if you work at an office or whatever, there's moments where people see probably the real you, but have no idea. It's like going to someone's house.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, this is where you live?
This is what it smells like.
Oh, I didn't know you collected Barbies. That's weird. Right. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure there's people, if they saw this bookcase who knew me, they'd be like, so you're just stunted, just arrested development. And you're like, oh, 100%. I like knickknacks and toys and books. And I'm a giant child. And I'm emotionally 14.
Knickknacks fucking rule, though. I think, yeah. My son's a big knickknack kid.
Love it.
He just collects. That's his whole life.
That's what I was like. We cleaned out my grandma's townhouse, but I'm upset I didn't take it because it got trashed. I'm actually genuinely upset I didn't grab it. There was an Energizer Bunny that they used to sell like Christmas at 88.
Yeah.
And it was like when the Energizer Bunny first came out, and I had it and I put it on my grandma's bookcase when I was little, and it stayed there. I mean, until they cleared it out.
Decades.
Yeah. And I wish I would have grabbed it on the last trip I left it. I was like, I'm going to leave this little piece here. But now I'm like, I should have put it on the bookcase.
Damn.
Because I loved knickknacks like your son.
Yeah, yeah.
You just like have little things and you're like, oh, I like this.
And it's also like, it seems like you're this exact way, but I hold everything that I loved as a child in such high regard still. There's nothing that could make me break up with it. Like the movie Rad is an 80s BMX movie that I literally named my first son after.
Really?
That's how much I love, like, the things I loved as a child.
Wait, you named your kid after Rad?
Crew, yeah. That's my son's name. Yeah, I named him after the lead character. That's not even the guy's name in the movie. That's his nickname. His name is Christopher.
That's so funny. And they go, what about Christopher? You go, not Crew.
Yeah, Crew.
No, dude, that's so...
No, then people think I named it after Chrissy Dean.
That's so funny. You go, that's how good of a co-host you were on that podcast. Yeah, that's like... I mean, dude, that's hilarious. Yeah, I named my son after the rollerblading movie Airborne. His name's Devil's Backbone. That was the course. But it was a big movie for me. But I really do. I think there's like, I think there's a part of that. Do you remember when you were growing up in the people that you knew that were too quick to become adults?
Yeah.
Like where they were like 12 wearing cologne.
Yeah. Like, yes. Yeah, I do.
What the fuck are you doing? 12 years old wearing cologne. But I feel like those...
I idolize those people, though, because I don't know. I've always looked for people that look like they have it figured out because I'm...
That's humanity.
I'm in shambles at all times.
I think that's the reason that cult leaders, tent preachers, business CEOs... That's like, did he got his power because did he act like he knew what he was doing?
100%. Yeah, yeah.
No one knows what they're doing.
No. I remember this kid... Chris Walsh, that I grew up with, went through puberty when he was like 8.
Yeah.
And he was the best athlete far and wide in my town for like, I mean, almost a solid decade, like 10 years.
Yeah.
But he's still like, I would assume, I haven't seen him in adulthood, but he stopped growing at like 15.
Oh my God.
So he's like 5'7", 5'8", for the rest of his life. But I was always just so, I'm like, you're my fucking idol, dude.
You're a
the
man.
Way you play middle school baseball is unbelievable.
Dude, I remember that feeling of being like middle school, high school, and seeing a guy like confident in himself and wear like a hat or something,
yeah.
And you go, this guy has no problems in the world. Rolls off him like a fucking water off a duck's back.
I also had no pubes until 9th grade, so yeah. I think that was a big thing where
same,
I was like,
dude. I didn't grow until my junior year.
Yeah,
I was like small until my junior year.
Oh,
I was
shit.
Like gangly with a big head. I looked like a bobblehead doll.
I used to stand next to my window in my room and like pull my pants down to find pubes.
That's so
like
funny.
In the sunlight because it would glisten and the contrast would be a bit more.
Shout out Nick Myers and Jason Poyle. We were in like 7th or 8th grade and they were like bragging about getting pubes and we were like going to a girl's house and I had to lie. I was like, oh yeah, I got a couple. And they're like, what's up? I was like, nah, we gotta go. I'm gonna run away. Because you were like, oh fuck, yeah, fuck. You don't realize how important that is. But then also now that we're, you know, I'm in my 40s and you're reaching there, it's like, you just want to go back to that kid and go, dude, just enjoy being 11 and 12. Like, soak it up, dude.
Yep.
Because it ends
every
so fast, but you don't realize because it feels forever.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's still like, I feel like every moment of my life, I've been like, like really reaching for the next level.
Yeah.
Like every single, and I still, even at this age, have not learned to relax and enjoy and remain.
You turn back and you go like, you know, everyone goes, oh, if I went back to high school, I'd get so much pussy. Mm-hmm. Or like, if I went back to high school, it's like, well, yeah, with your adult brain, because you'd be confident.
Yeah.
You would be like, oh, I don't need this. This is all stupid.
Right.
But don't tell me you would kill it in high school. You'd have to do homework again. You'd have to go to classes and take notes. You're not killing it. You'd be like, fuck this shit. With your adult brain?
Yeah.
With your adult brain? Dude, I woke up this morning, I could smoke a bowl if I felt like it. Yeah. I woke up, I could just rub a lady's butt. I'm marrying a lady. I could rub her butt. I could rub her butt as long as I want.
That is pretty cool to have a butt to rub on demand.
Just wake up and go, I'm butt rubbing this morning.
Just magic eight ball start to your day.
I'll make a coffee, I'll smoke weed, I'll blow everything off. Play college football for 3 hours. I'll get in trouble, but I'll fucking do it. I can fucking do it. But then, like, I remember so many times being like, if I could go back to high school, it would... The idea is great.
Yeah, yeah.
But what you're, I think, what whenever I would say that, I would be saying that because I know myself better.
Yeah.
And I was so like, when I was, even in my 20s, like you're talking about it, dating your wife and having that break between late teens, early 20s. Yeah. Dude, when I moved here and I was doing stand up, if I were Louis or Bill Burr, Seinfeld, I wouldn't want to talk to me either.
No.
Me just standing outside. Yeah. Patrice used to say that all the time.
Yeah.
When young comics would be outside, I'd be like, I don't want your fucking weird young comic energy. And you're like, oh no, he was right.
Yeah. I mean, it is funny because I'm faced with myself all the time.
Yeah.
As are you. It's just young comics that are like, so yeah, especially at Skankfest where they're like, oh my God, like, you know.
And, and I love talking about
it. It's awesome.
I love talking about it because I still love comedy the same as I did. And it's also like fun to talk to a young comic to be like, it's all bullshit. Don't worry about this. But also, I mean, it's crazy to think about this if you really want to go full circle. The way that those old guys, it would have been nice to know that those older comics are like, everything's changing.
Yes.
Nothing is the same.
Yeah.
Like they used to do Carson. They did Carson and they were millionaires. Mm-hmm. They would do a fucking, an hour special once every 7 years and everyone would be like, yeah. And now everyone's like, all the time, dump everything you have. And you're just like, but it's, everything changes and everything's evolving and no one knows what's actually happening. That should be the piece that it brings you.
But again, it was all dudes that thought they had it figured out because it was an established business model. Things didn't change all that drastically. If anything, there were just a few more opportunities that would pop up here and there. And then once the flood hit.
Eddie Brill, you knew Eddie Brill was booking Letterman.
Yeah.
You knew if Eddie Brill saw you and he liked you, there's a chance you're going to get on Letterman. If you get on Letterman, you can maybe work the improvs and the funny bones and all this. And now they're like, do you have 5 million Instagram followers? And you're like, no, I was doing the other thing. And they go, well, we don't do that anymore. And you go, well, then fuck me.
Can you come on our show, do 5 minutes, and save our failing business model?
Please. But it really, it's like, you know, I think whenever you feel like I go through it all the time, but whenever I feel a giant pang of like insecurity or anxiety or whatever, it's nice to go like, oh, there's 8 billion other people feeling the same exact thing.
Yeah.
No one is like, and that's kind of what's been cool about being able to do shows with guys that I idolize or guys that I see are cool. And like, you realize like they got problems.
Totally. Everyone's, yeah. Everyone's
got a host of shit that you have no idea what's going on.
No, being friends with you guys, like truly you, Mark, Joe, Sam, like that era, you were all like the step ahead of me when I first came into the city and like established and working and so fucking good at comedy that I still feel weird around you guys.
Yeah, it's so like funny because we've been friends forever.
I know.
Like, yeah, we've known each other over a decade.
And it's still like, oh, that's Dan So. Like, even though Bobby
calls me, I still get very excited.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, I love Bobby. He's like one of my close friends, but I still get that excitement.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm like, fucking Bobby Kelly's going. Like,
if you guys are in the back of the room while I'm on stage, forget it, dude.
Fucking Jim Norton just said what's up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, fuck it. I love little Jimmy. He's just an opiate. You know what I mean? Like, because I think those are, it's not growing out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to keep some of that magic. Like, genuinely, I could probably have a conversation with Seinfeld and he could be like, do you know how much it costs to upkeep Porsches? Do you have any idea? I own 20,000 Porsches and it's hard to upkeep them. And I'd be like, I never knew you had that anxiety. He's like, that sucks. Of course I don't talk about my hair transplants. I gotta notice too much stuff. And you're like, oh, thank God. It's just, that's like, nice.
Yeah.
It's just nice to know that.
Yeah, yeah. It is nice to be hit with somebody else's problems.
Humanity.
Yep.
It's just nice to know when someone's like human. And it's kind of nice when Tom Brady sucks at broadcasting.
Totally.
Because you're like, oh, you're not great at everything you do. I bet he'll get good at it.
100%.
Because he's got that fucking mentality.
He won't allow himself to be bad.
Yeah, but you're like, oh, okay, kind of suck at it for a little bit. It's kind of nice. Watching people who are great at stuff suck at other stuff, it's nice.
He's already doing the thing that, like, we were doing on our podcast when it was getting low numbers, and then we'd bring back like poetry or something that we wrote as a teenager. Oh, he wrote the pros and cons of becoming a bear. And he's like, guys, I have content.
I told Katie every week he's going to do that. He goes, you know, I almost thought about going to the Jaguars. And they're like, stop, Tom. Tom, you know, I could have fucked her. You know, with the Bears. Every Bear fan was like, ugh. And by the way, I know that because I'm a 49ers fan, and he did that with the 49ers. He goes, you know, I tried to go to the 49ers in 2020. And I'm like, oh, just kissing the air. Oh, we would have been back in the Super Bowl. Oh, fuck. Oh, why did we go with Jimmy Garoppolo that in the second year? But you're like, it's bullshit. He's just, he's honey dipping you.
Yeah.
He's just like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, and it's working.
I thought I was going to be a bear. Let's go to their game. And everyone's like, liar. You weren't going to go to the Bears in 2020. You
who they had? I don't even know who they had.
They weren't a good team. Like, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
He was going to go to one of three teams. And he went to the Buccaneers because they built an all-star team for him.
Right.
They went 1 year.
Fucking Florida.
They went one and done.
Yeah.
No taxes. You can live by your other kid. And he went, I'll do it. Whatever.
Live by your other kid.
Yeah. His first kid.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
I've always said the greatest storyline, because you know Tom Brady was pregnant with Bridget Moynihan.
That's right, yeah.
Then he left for Giselle.
Yeah, who was hot in The Recruit.
She's unbelievable.
Yeah, she was smoking hot.
I had such
hot.
A big crush on her. I wanted him to stay with her.
Yeah.
But I get he goes and gets Giselle Bundchen, supermodel. But I always thought
Hispanic
it was...
Hispanic avatar.
Yeah. Where she's like, pump me full of babies. She's like... But I always thought it would have been really funny is if Tom Brady's son with Bridget Moynihan... Like, you know how he went to Michigan?
Mm-hmm.
He's like a quarterback or whatever. Like, just train that first kid to be like the meanest linebacker and go to Ohio State and just be like, I'm going to fucking destroy quarterbacks. Like, the way you feel about your dad, he's just like, I'm going to fucking eat quarterbacks. Guy kissed me on the lips in front of the press. I'm going to fucking... kill him.
Yeah, while he was laying down. I think that was the bigger issue, is the kiss was while he was flat on his back.
And you go, whoa. Oof. I remember kissing my dad, and after like five, I was like, yo, is this shit gay?
Yeah, it's after wet his mustache, and hairy.
Yeah, his mustache. I was like, yo, can we handshake? This shit feels gay. He's like, bye. And you're like, ew. Are you gay, Dad?
I can't even kiss my son. Like, I kiss my son on his head, on his cheeks, like all that stuff. But if I plant one on his lips, kids have such wet mouths that it's like, it's too much.
Does he kiss your wife on the lips?
Sometimes. Yeah, yeah, I think so.
Put this in your mind.
Okay.
Track when that gets weird. When kissing your mom, when your mom goes, and you go, I'm fucking kissing you, lady.
I think it's already there. He's already like, mom.
Yeah,
like still.
Six?
Five, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So he's right at that time where he goes,
Dude, his leap
I ain't trying to fuck you, mom.
Dude, that's what happens when you go to kindergarten. Out of nowhere, you are like, you have 90% of your influences from your parents.
Sure.
Then you go to kindergarten, you ride the bus, and you're like, you emancipated yourself from everything. You're like, I don't even fucking know you losers anymore.
Buy me my toys.
He did the gritty home like the other day, and I was like, dude, what the fuck is happening right now?
That's
kind
of sick. Your son's hitting the gritty. I love that he's coming home. He's like, I learned about numbers today. That is sick. That is, but that's the fun part of being a parent. You get to watch all the things that like you're going through.
Yeah.
You're a smart guy.
Mm.
You also like work on yourself and you do drugs and that kind of stuff where you get perspective.
Yes.
Not like our parents' generation, which was like dive into alcohol and no one else's your worries.
Yeah.
You get to like As you fix your problems, you get to watch your son start his.
Totally.
That's what being a good dad is.
Yeah, yeah. And it
was giving him the tools to be like, hey, don't idolize people.
Yeah, and also acknowledge the fact that I had a childhood. Like, yeah. So much of my childhood was my parents seemingly never have been like kids for an hour of their lives.
Dude, the boomers love to tell you that they're like, they act like chimney sweeps. Like, they got put to work at like fucking 5 years old. And some of them did. My mom worked from the time she was like 13 on.
Yeah, yeah.
But she hit me with like, when I was your age, I did this. And you're like, well, it sounded like it sucked.
Right, right.
So why don't we change that? So why are we doing this? Why are we running it back when you self-admittedly said it fucking blew?
Yes. My dad was like, he was one of eight in Levittown, Long Island.
Oh.
So like,
by the way, the first suburb
yes.
in America.
Yeah. Oh, and I asked him recently, I was like, were you guys like aware of the racial component?
Oh,
like the
reason they built suburbs was so black people did not move out.
Well, there. And John Levitt, the guy who designed Levittown, Long Island and Levittown, Pennsylvania,
post World War II,
it was meant for baby boomers. And yeah. There was one black family that moved in and they were the subject of like Molotov cocktails,
crazy.
Like people trying to violently evict them from their yeah. homes. And I asked my dad, I was like, did you guys know that was going on? He's like, not really.
Yeah, dude.
It's be honest, though.
My grandma, before she, like, you know, when she was still around, I would ask her, because she was born in 1927 in Oklahoma, like moved the California way, not because of the Dust Bowl. It's fun to say that, but yeah. It's her dad got a job out in the Bay Area. So she's like 15 years old living in Oakland. Wow. And I'm like, going to school in Oakland. And I'm like, were you racist? I go, you must have been racist. And she's like, no, you know, I had never seen black people before because she's coming from Oklahoma. And she was like, but they were just people. So then you go, oh, that's real chill. My grandma was one of the ones that wasn't racist. Meanwhile, I have a black cousin that no one ever talks to. So you're like, well, Dana, I think you were kind of real racist. I think you were super fucked up and you probably owe Nashawn a giant apology. Because I've never met her and she hates our family and I get it.
Wow. Yeah.
And I get it because I have a cousin that's like, yeah, fuck you guys. And
yeah.
You're like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm also like, by the way, I'm white and they were shitty to me. This family did not miss. They were they might not be racist. They might just be horrible parents.
Yep. Yeah.
Everyone in that family might have just been really bad at fucking being a family member.
I have a cousin who did that thing where like grew up a certain way, had that break free of like everybody here is racist, this is fucked up, and now she's a radicalized Muslim. Like she's like in ISIS.
And Salah, dude.
Dude, like the curvy letters on her Facebook, the whole cover up, posting wild anti-America shit, and you're like, wow, that's the line.
Just whenever you see her, just Allah. just dude, that's so funny to have a cousin that you're like, what's your name now?
I haven't seen her in, I mean, minimum 25 years.
Oh, really?
Like, this is only kept up through social media.
Crazy.
And she's open about it.
But that's also, I think that would have been cooler back in the day to have like a mysterious cousin that's Muslim.
Yeah.
To just, you know, it's like you haven't seen her and you're like, is that Penny? And she's like, assalamu alaikum. And you're like, what should I call you? I'm named after the Nile. You can, you're like, oh, fuck. All right. This sounds way more prestigious. Because now you like watch people change. Mm-hmm. So the change isn't as effective as people just showing up. That's why I think high school reunions now aren't shit.
No, they suck.
Everyone watches you grow. Mm-hmm. The whole point of high school reunions back in the day was someone to show up and be like,
what the fuck?
Oh, my God. What the fuck? And then now you're like, yeah, I know. I follow you on Instagram. You're insufferable.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's like my 20th year was last year, I guess, 23, and it didn't happen because of social media. People were just like, nobody gives a fuck, dude.
Yeah,
we all see how we're doing.
Mine was 2021, and they were like, are you going to come? And you're like, I have touch with everyone from high school that I'm supposed to have touch with.
Me too. I'm still friends with all my boys that I grew up with, and that's that.
Some of them actually watch this podcast.
Nice.
Which is crazy. Hey, guys.
Hi, boys.
It's kind of like the garage, huh? We're going to get high after this, so it really is. But it is, high school reunions are a dated thing.
Yeah.
Writing letters. You're like, who the fuck, who the fuck does that? Text me.
It's only for people in prison.
High school reunions are only for people in prison. I can't wait to get out. I'm going to go, wow, everybody. Yeah, it's as everything changes, you can like, because as we get older, I think we're also starting to hit that thing right now where I'm getting a little crotchety towards change, where I'm like, mm-hmm. why has it got to change? It was good the way it was.
Yeah. You're
like, well, it wasn't good for everybody, so maybe it is changing. I think right now, I'm excited for a bunch of shit to change.
Truly. Specifically what? Like socially or just like?
The way everyone's acting.
Yeah, I wish there was like a social solar flare.
Yes.
Like something that could just completely fucking wipe out people's behavior.
Yes.
And make them start from zero. We need a reset. then we can, you know, blow in the controller, start fresh, see if we can say hi and look each other in the eyes.
Just hit the reset button.
Yeah.
Because most people face to face are great.
Mm-hmm.
But not all.
No.
But there is, you know, there's, I don't know, man. It's fucking, there's a lot of shit where you're like, I think it's never been better and it's never been worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think that's how it is.
I've never been closer to John Goodman in The Big Lebowski. Like, yeah. Like literally like packing my gun and does anybody follow the rules? Yeah, like, that's like my whole fucking thing.
Dude, you're a white guy about to hit your 40s. All we care about is the rules. It's all about the rules. You go, those aren't the rules. You're not following the rules. Someone will skip. You're boarding right now. You're not zone one. You're not zone one. I saw your ticket. You're zone three. What the fuck are you doing?
Oh, speaking of which, just a little aside, I saw Feeney get picked off yesterday trying to pull that shit. He's always an early zone jumper. And he's like, oh, no, I'm in the one before you. And I saw him go up there and the lady goes, that's not right. And pushed him to the side and he waited by himself.
Can I tell you my favorite thing to do in those moments? It does happen often.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be waiting there and I'll see someone jump the route. I'll see him try to go for the pick six, but then they get fucking denied. They get Mutombo'd. RIP King. Uh-huh. When that happens, most of the time, if I'm in a good mood, if I'm in a jovial mood and it's not too early in the morning, when I see someone get denied, I'll go, defense. Defense. And sometimes the gate agent will look at me and look like that. You know, I love rules. I'm an old white. I fucking love rules, dude. It's so funny to do that though. Uh-huh. When they go like, sir, we're not boarding that. You just go, defense.
Oh my God. I hope that spreads.
Yeah. Start doing it, dude. Start That's doing amazing. It anymore. Cause you are, it's the shame.
Yeah.
Shame. You're saying. One time I walked, I told the story on the bonfire, but it was one of my favorite moments of waiting tables. When the collapse happened in 08,
mm-hmm.
we got a ton of Europeans that would come and eat at Dos Caminos.
Yeah.
Not tip. One time during lunch, it was crazy busy. And this guy with like his whore, just this lady, if she wasn't a whore, to quote the great Dave Chappelle, you're wearing a whore's uniform. But she was like dressed like a whore. And they sit down and I'm in the weeds. I'm so behind on every table. And he sits down and he's got the menu and he goes, bistek. And I go, excuse me? And he goes, bistek. I go, well, we have two items that are steak. We have the asada tacos and we have the asada burrito, but we don't have a steak. And he goes, steak. I want steak. And I go, well, we don't have that. And he goes, you don't have that? I leave. And he puts the menu down and I go, bye. And he gets up and walks away. And as he was leaving, I slapped the ground like a point guard. And I did
that. Hiked up your slacks.
Yeah, dude. I picked up my pants and I slapped the ground. My friend Los, who was bartending, was like, did you just point guard defense that Spanish couple from leaving? And I was like, goddamn right I did, dude. Fucking pistols, dude. Come get some, dude. I'll lock you down.
As a white point guard, that was like my whole role.
Yeah,
slap the floor, clean the bottom of my feet, and then just dirty palms up.
Yeah. I'll get my squeaks on, dude. You ain't getting by me.
Pre-sticky mat? You have to do it yourself.
Yeah, you're like, dude, I'll fucking... I knew you'd appreciate that as a basketball fan, just walking him. Mike Cannon is hilarious. He's got a brand new special out on YouTube. Anxiety.
Traumatized animal.
Filmed at Stanford, New York.
Yeah, at the New York Comedy Club in Stanford, Connecticut. That room fucking rules.
The room rules.
Yeah.
And you walk in that room and you kind of go, is this going to be a good room? And then the show starts and you're like, oh, this is a fucking...
It feels like theater club hybrid in the sense that like, and that's the sound we got from it too, where it's like super intimate. Everybody's kind of on top of you, but it booms.
Yeah,
like
it's this, fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So check out Traumatized Animal on YouTube right now. You're the man.
Appreciate you having me, man. Thanks for having me.
Captain Morgan Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.